When Nobby had gone, Vimes reached behind the desk and picked up a faded copy of Twerp's Peerage, or as he personally thought of it, The Guide to the Criminal Classes. You wouldn't find slum dwellers in these pages, but you would find their landlords. And while it was regarded as pretty good evidence of criminality to be living in a slum, for some reason, owning a whole street of them merely got you invited to the very best social occasions. These days, they seem to be bringing out a new edition every week. Dragon had been right about one thing at least. Everyone in Ankh-Morpork seemed to be hankering after more arms than they were born with. He looked up De Nobbs. There even was a damn coat of arms. One supporter of the shield was a hippo, presumably one of the royal hippos of Ankh-Morpork and therefore the ancestor of Roderick and Keith. The other was a bull of some sort, with a very Nobby-like expression. It was holding a golden ankh, which, this being the De Nobbs coat of arms, it had probably stolen from somewhere. The shield was red and green. There was a white chevron with five apples on it. Quite what they had to do with warfare was unclear. Perhaps they were some kind of jolly visual pun or play on words that had had them slapping their thighs down at the Royal College of Arms, although probably if Dragon slapped his thigh too hard, his leg would fall off. It was easy enough to imagine an ennobled Nobbs. Because where Nobby went wrong was in thinking small. He sidled into places and pinched things that weren't worth much. If only he'd sidled into continents and stolen entire cities, slaughtering many of the inhabitants in the process, he'd have been a pillar of the community. There was nothing in the book under Vimes. Suffer not injustice, Vimes wasn't a pillar of the community. He killed a king with his own hands. It needed doing, but the community, whatever that was, didn't always like the people who did what needed to be done or said what had to be said. He put some other people to death as well, that was true, but the city had been lousy. There'd been a lot of stupid wars. We were practically part of the Clatchian Empire. Sometimes you needed a bastard. History had wanted surgery. Sometimes Dr. Chopper is the only surgeon to hand. There's something final about an axe. But kill one wretched king, and everyone calls you a regicide. It wasn't as if it was a habit or anything. Vimes had found old Stoneface's journal in the Unseen University Library. The man had been hard, no doubt about that. But they were hard times. He'd written, "In the fires of struggle, let us bake new men who will notty heed the old lies." But the old lies had won in the end. He said to people, "You're free," and they said, "Hooray," and then he showed them what freedom costs, and they called him a tyrant. And as soon as he'd been betrayed, they milled around a bit like barn-bred chickens who've seen the big world outside for the first time, and then they went back into the warm and shut the door. "Bing bong bingly beep," Vimes sighed and pulled out his organiser. "Yes."
"Memo, appointment with bootmaker, 2 p.m, said the imp.
"It's not 2 o'clock yet, and that was Tuesday in any case," said Vimes.
"So I'll cross it off the list of things to do, then."
Vimes put the disorganised organiser back in his pocket and went and looked out of the window again. Who had a motive for poisoning Lord Vetinari? No, that wasn't the way to crack it. Probably if you went to some outlying area of the city and confined your investigations to little old ladies who didn't get out much, what with all the wallpaper over the door and everything, you might be able to find someone without a motive. But the man stayed alive by always arranging matters so that a future without him represented a riskier business than a future with him still upright. The only people, therefore, who'd risk killing him were madmen. And the gods knew Ankh-Morpork had enough of them, or someone who was absolutely confident that if the city collapsed, he'd be standing on top of the pile. If Fred were right, and the sergeant was generally a good indicator of how the man in the street thought, because he was the man in the street, then that person was Captain Carrot. But Carrot was one of the few people in the city who seemed to like Vetinari. Of course, there was one other person who stood to gain. Damn, thought Vimes. It's me, isn't it? There was another knock at the door. He didn't recognise this one. He opened the door cautiously.
"It's me, sir, Littlebottom."
"Come in, then." It was nice to know there was at least one person in the world with more problems than him. "How is his lordship?"
"Stable," said Littlebottom. Dead is stable, said Vimes. I mean, he's alive, sir, and sitting up reading. Mr. Donut made up some sticky stuff that tasted of seaweed, sir, and I mixed up some glue-ball salts. Sir, you know the old man in the house on the bridge?
What old... Oh, yes. It seemed a long time ago. What about him?
Well, you asked me to look round, and I took some pictures. This is one, sir.
He handed Vimes a rectangle that was near.